Hello and welcome to the podcast of Vineyard Church here in Maryville, Tennessee. We post our Sunday messages here each week, as well as our conversations episodes, which include interviews, special announcements, and in-depth teaching. You can visit vineyardchurch.us to learn more about us or to access the audio archive. You can also subscribe to this podcast on Spotify, Apple, or Google Podcasts. And now, here's the episode.
Well, all right. Good morning. How y'all doing? You should sign up for a small group. You should do it today. And if for no other reason, you should do it because Molly said so. Did you hear? She said she's been in our church since 2007. That's a good run. Can you imagine how awesome you would be if you'd been in our church since 2007? Wouldn't that be awesome? Maybe not Molly awesome, but you guys would be really awesome. Anyway, so good to be with you guys this morning. I'm going to dive into the message here in just a second, but before we do, I want to do a quick sidebar, and actually want to, I know we just heard about groups, but if we're ever going to twist your arm, it's going to be around groups, and so I want to tell you about one group in particular because it's new. It's called Grief Share. I have a million thoughts. I'll give you a couple of them. But it was this fascinating thing. Some people, they face grief, pain, and loss. Kind of tragedy comes their way. And then somehow, seemingly miraculously, they grow as a result of it. They come out better and healthier and happier as a result of the pain they encountered, while other people will really struggle and maybe even be completely devastated by it. And, you know, you wonder why that is. And you might hear that and think, well, you know, people are made from different stuff. You know, people are different. And, you know, some people, that's just how they respond. So that is a rational thing, but it does not hold up to scrutiny at all, because here's the thing, plenty of people experience both. So it's not just about constitution or your wiring or your personality type or your family history or anything like that. Like, there are people who, you know, something awful happens and then that whole whatever doesn't kill you makes you stronger thing kicks in, and they end up even better as a result. And then that same person with the same personality and the same background faces another painful thing, and it crushes them. As you could probably imagine, this is an almost impossible thing to study empirically. People want to know desperately why that is, but there are so many variables. People are so different. But lots of people have tried to put a finger, like, why is that? Can we name it at all? And as far as I know, they've only been able to identify one consistent correlation, like a thread that they can pull, which is with this. When people have a safe place to process their pain with trusted friends, then they tend to come out stronger in the end. And when they don't have that, when they don't share their grief, they typically, again, no absolutes here at all, but they typically languish and suffer, and sometimes they're crushed by it. It's a very important concept. Grief has to be observed. Grief has to be observed. It has to be known. It has to be acknowledged and recognized. It is not complete until it is shared. And if it's left incomplete, it has a tendency to fester, and it very often does. And we have a tendency, when we suffer, all the more to want to isolate. I think that is our enemy's first and greatest strategy. When we experience grief or loss, he wants us to be isolated. This is why the need to share our grief, to observe it, this is part of why funerals are so important. This is why there are public rituals around death in every single society, because we know intuitively that our wounds just, they cannot heal until they are seen and until they are shared. But sometimes, here's the thing, and you know this, sometimes people will stand in a crowd at a funeral and still be entirely alone, still internalize their grief and not share it at all. Or another thing that happens very commonly is we experience some sort of grief or loss that is the type of grief or loss that is traditionally kept private or isn't widely known. When someone dies, it's not a secret, it's known. And so we know to do things like a funeral. Most of the grief and tragedy that comes our way, we tend to deal with on our own. Like, we don't have funerals for those things. We don't have funerals for broken marriages. We don't have funerals for miscarriages or for lost friendships or for a deep betrayal. Most of the things that we grieve are dealt with privately. And maybe that's because we just don't, it just seems like that's what we're supposed to do because that's the norm. Or maybe it's because, and this is sad but true, maybe we're afraid that, you know, if it's not like something as absolute and as final as a death, then people might judge us or even make fun of us because we're still sad about that thing or we're still struggling with that thing. Or maybe you don't have enough faith to think that God can turn it around if you're still grieving, you know, that career that never got off the ground. Or why are you still so heartbroken by this? Or can't seem to move on from this thing. Man, those are such diversions and lies from the enemy. I can go through, and I've done it, I can survey sort of the losses that I've felt in my life. I've had a few, the betrayals, the pain. And the ones that have threatened to take me out are the ones that I've faced alone. And the way I finally moved on from those things was through processing the pain, through sharing the grief. Now, that's my experience. It may not be everyone's. But the breakthrough for me, the healing for me, came from just externalizing and sharing what I was facing. Like, and not, to be clear, not just sharing it once. That's not how it works. You do it over and over and over again. Every single time I share the loss, the weight of it just feels a little bit lighter. Grief share, it's not magic, but it's so powerful because it holds space to let that happen. An expected space for that to happen. And so if you're thinking you're the type of person, you're like, I'm just not the type of person who would sign up for grief share, then I am especially talking to you. If that self-perception probably means you've suffered alone for a long time. And also, if you're thinking, you know what, my grief or my loss, or I've been through some hard stuff, but you know, it doesn't rise to the level of needing something like that. It doesn't have to be handled that way. If that's the case, I love you, so much love. You're so wrong, you're just wrong. This is what the enemy does. The enemy tells us, oh, it's not that big a deal, or other people have, listen. Of course other people have suffered more than you have, of course. You can always point to somewhere. But can you just think about that thing that you always say, oh, well, they're suffering more or whatever? Do you honestly believe that the one person in the world, whoever that may be, who has suffered the absolute most of all of us, do we honestly believe that's the only person who needs and deserves a place to heal? You don't believe that. So what is that? That's a lie from the enemy. All right. So hear me. If you're even in the least bit inclined to sign up for Grief Share, do it. We have phenomenal leadership in place for this. It's a useful tool. Don't sign up because it'll fix everything. It won't. But it does have power, potentially tremendous power, to help and to move us toward healing and maybe even to help a lot. So I just want to encourage you, do a little arm twisting in that direction.